Good morning and welcome to our very special service, a Remembrance Sunday. I would like to begin with a few words from Scripture, from Isaiah 62, to put into context what we reflecting on and remember today. Many peoples will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his path. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and he will settle disputes between peoples. There will be their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nations will not take up sword against nations, nor will they train for war anymore. Oh, come, O house of Jacob, O come, let us walk in the light of the Lord our God." This is the context in which we come to worship the Lord this morning, to remember God's love for us in Jesus Christ, his sacrifice, the one who has laid down his life to show us what love is all about. But also we are here, of course, to remember the lives of all those who have suffered during the wars, first, second, and who are suffering still today. I'd like to put right some misunderstandings of what today is all about. First of all, we are not here to glorify war or the supremacy of this or in any other country or this country for that matter. We are not here to justify the armed forces or the establishment for that matter. We are not here to label death as a sacrifice, for sacrifice to just a degree of choice that was not present for many serving in the forces. We are here to remember all those people of whatever country, whatever nationalities who have died in the pursuit of freedom and good. We are here to give thanks to God for their lives given for the freedom that we have today. We are here to pray for all who suffer and have suffered as a result of war. Our purpose today is indeed to acknowledge that pain and to remember it, but also to thank God for the freedom that so many now enjoy. We are here to acknowledge indeed and ultimately the love laying down its life for others, and in that to recognize that our greater aim in life is to do the same, to follow the example of Jesus Christ. As we as his disciples, we are called to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters, so that others may live in freedom and in liberty. With that in mind, let me pray and hand over to God our service, and to all those who will contribute and take part, prayers through different aspects of sharing of life as it is today or has been in the past. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege to be into your presence, yet again still scattered in our different places and different rooms. And as we started this second lockdown, I pray from the very beginning that you will keep our mind at peace. We'll remember your goodness and your life, your love for us, even in times of trouble like this. We remember your love and your grace for people of the past who suffer and even die for our freedom. Above everything else, we remember Christ's life for us. We pray for your Holy Spirit to be present in us as we worship you and you alone. Thank you for Jesus and thank you, Holy Spirit. And in the name we pray, the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
prayer of confession. Lord Jesus, we come to you believing that your death paid for our sins. We confess that we have not loved you with all our hearts. Please forgive us. We confess that we have not loved others as you have loved us. Please forgive us. We confess that we have not trusted you with our needs and have sometimes taken what belongs to other people. Please forgive us, Lord Jesus. Please wash us clean from our sins and help us to live differently. In Jesus' name. Amen.
John chapter 15, verses 9 to 17. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other.
Remembrance Day, we want to thank you, Lord, for all who have died that we might live. Thank you, Lord. For all who suffered pain that we might know joy. Thank you, Lord. For all who had to cope with being in prison that we might know freedom. Thank you, Lord. For all those who willingly served in the armed services or on the home front, sacrificing what they wanted so that we can live in peace. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And now let us pray for those who are currently serving in wars and conflicts. Heavenly Father, we bring before you those who are currently serving in wars and conflicts around the world. For those facing the unknown, give them courage. For those struggling with physical exhaustion, give them strength. For those serving in desperate situations, give them hope. For those leading others and making difficult decisions, give them wisdom. And for the families left at home, give them comfort. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
covered by your grace, so free.
Reading comes from James 4, verses 1 to 3. Submit yourselves to God. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have, because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures.
Time must be getting on. I make it about 3:05. 0:10. One hell of a shindig when this goes off. Oh, beautiful morning as well. The birds will be waking up in English Wood. There goes a lark. Way up into the sky he goes. He doesn't give a tuppenny dump for all these guns. His song might be drowned out, but not his joy. God's in his heaven, eh? And all's right on the earth. I don't know about that. That's what the lads asked me. Padre, if God's in his heaven, why is it hell on earth, eh?
Yeah, good question. How soft the silver dawnlight looks. And the mist hanging low over the meadow like some sort of silver sea dimly lit. And the clumps of trees like islands in the mist. How still. How soon this silence will be broken. War is like a mighty earthquake, swallowing up everything before it. And then guns, these guns are like a man with a loud voice and no brains, shouting in an argument. And here I am laughing. Oh, we laugh quite a bit here, actually. It keeps one another spurred on. That's the stuff to give them, that's what we cry out. That's the stuff to give them. It's quite a glorious sight as well. A mighty silver spread of light, flames against the black silhouette of the trees. But it's a damnable sight. It's a disgrace to civilization. It's murder. That's what it is. It's wholesale murder. I mean, we sit here behind our guns, but we can't see what's happening over there. They're just lads. They've got mothers and wives and kiddies and loved ones back home, just like we have, just like my little Patrick. You what, lad? Yeah, shout a bit louder. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's the stuff to give them, eh? That's the stuff to give them. It won't last much longer, lad, don't worry. They'll have to quit soon. How many times have they heard that? I believed in this war. I did, really. I stood in my pulpit many times and I said, every able-bodied young man should volunteer for active service. There should be no shirking from that responsibility whatsoever. And if you're not on active service, you should be praying. And so I came out here spurring them on to victory. Convinced we were doing God's duty. We shall overcome. Our English spirit will prevail. I made it sound so glorious. War, it's only glorious when you buy it in the Daily Mail and enjoy it at the breakfast table. It goes well with bacon and eggs normally. But real war's the bitter end of our brutality. It's the silliest, filthiest, most inhumane thing that has ever happened. I spent some time with a wounded soldier. He asked me, "What's God like, Padre?" Oh, he was writhing about in pain. He was close to death, to be honest. What's God like? This God who gets us to fight, this colonel of the world, what's he like? I thought for a minute or two, and then I pointed to a crucifix above one of the officers' beds. I said, "He's like that. He's like that." The soldier was quiet for a minute or two, and then he looked at me, his face full of doubt and disappointment. "God's not like that, Padre," he said. "God's almighty. Not nailed to a cross, broken in all but spirit. He's almighty. You get us to sing songs about God's victory. But you've not been out on the front line, Padre. This world is still full of sin," he said. "Sin like this filthy war." He's out of it. God's out of it. That's what one of the lads said to me in the trenches. Christ suffered once and for all, and then ascended into heaven and left us here in hell. I mean, they're tired, cold, frightened boys. That's all they are. What's God like for them? And then one day it struck me. I was running back towards our lines, mad with fright, to be honest, and I went across this bit of open land, used to be a wooded copse or something, and I tripped. I must have stumbled over something or other. And I looked down to see what I'd tripped over. And there, on the ground, looking up at me, was this young, underfed, undersized, underage German boy, wounded in his head and his stomach. And I looked down at this pathetic creature, and I thought, what's this got to do? What the devil has it got to do with you? You're not some blonde, blue-eyed Prussian. You're a boy. That's all. And as I looked down at the face on this boy, it was as if Jesus on the cross took his place. There was Jesus looking up at me, and I could hear these words, whatever you do for the least of these little ones, you do for me. And from that moment on, I never saw the battlefields as anything other than Jesus on the cross. That's what I saw. I saw him in the slums. I saw him in the overcrowded quarter. I saw him in some vulgar street speaking to me of luxury and waste. I saw him in the headlines of a newspaper speaking out about a lost, bewildered and tortured world. But the vision of life in the cross is not one of despair. It's not. It's one of hope. It's one of confidence. Why? I'll tell you why. Because behind the cross is an empty tomb. And Jesus, with his wounded hands, ready to bless you, ready to ascend into heaven.
Remembrance Sunday, a time to remember God's love, a time to remember his love sent to us all through the person of Jesus Christ, a love that came down among us, lived among us, ministered to us, died for us, took our sins on his shoulders. He went to the grave. And he came back to life. We remember God's love in his Son Jesus Christ today. We remember his life lie down for the sins of many, as the scripture reminds us. Greater love has no one seen, and there is no greater than that of someone laying down his life for others. What a privilege it is to remember that love today, to remember God's grace and forgiveness. I hope you do know that love. I hope you encounter and experience that love in your own life. I hope that you have made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. I hope that he is indeed your Lord of your life, that you will remember the time and the moment when you have said, Jesus, come into my life. I hope that as we think and reflect of remembering Sunday today of that love, you will remember Jesus Christ as you welcome him into his life. If you have not done so, I urge you to investigate this Christianity, to give it a go, to trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, to ask questions, to read the scripture, to get alongside friends who know a little bit more about Christ and the Bible and get to know more about him. Remembering Christ's love for us, remembering his sacrifice on the cross for us, remembering his blessings, his healing, remembering his guidance, remembering his incredible power of protection over us over the years. remembering now in the present that he is with us, remembering here and now that Christ will never abandon us, or I will never leave you, remembering his goodness. Even if we go to the valley of the shadow of death, we can remember that he is with us. I love how James, in the letter that he writes to the churches, he says that a lot of things that come out in us, the quarrels that are among us, which they ultimately end up in wars, are actually caused by the wrong desires in our hearts. Those wrong desires can often begin with the words, and you will see this picture on your screen, "That is all mine." Or in other words, "That's what I've got." In other words, "That's what I want." I want, as where little children might have been, a toy. Remember when you hold on to that toy, "Mine, mine, it's mine. I want." When Josh was little, all the time when we saw something in a shop, a toy or a sweet, want, like, want. As he couldn't even talk very well, his first, among his first words was want, and like. I don't think it was mommy and daddy. As we grow older, the "I want that" transforms into something a bit bigger. I want a bigger house. I want a better job. It might be that I want that iPad or iMac or that PC, or I want a better pay. It might be more money, it might be more land. It might be simply that I want my own way in every situation that I find it difficult to cope with, that I cannot control. I want that ministry. I want God to bless me. I want everything, and if possible, make it all mine, all mine, all mine. The problem comes, as James says, when we are unwilling to ask God for what we need. God gives us what we need or what we want many times. And when we start wanting what other people have, then it becomes even a bigger problem. And this is the second picture that I want you to see here. I've got to have that, because from "I want it," it will lead to "I've got to have it. If I don't have it, if I don't already have it, I will have to get it." I've got to have that. And before we know it, our heart is totally, absolutely, totally focus and immerse in getting what we really, really want, because what we already have is not enough. And that eventually, that desires can grow to the stage where it becomes, "I will take that." And this is the third picture that you will see now on your screen. "I will take that." We might get involved in a fight so that we can take what we want if we don't have it. We might lie about others at work so that we can take that promotion. We might be able to do terrible things to one another in order to get what we want. To control, to slander, and many a times even some resort to killing. And this is how war started. Because we have never been content with what we have, we wanted to have more. Although we had plenty, and yours, mine, we wanted to have what other had, and we had to have it. And this is how war, and the result of war, and the atrocities of war have all started. The consequences of it are terrible, even to mention, and we all know them. We've seen them on the TVs and in the news today. all that starts in the heart, in our desire to have more, to get more, to say it's all mine and I'm not sharing any with you. This is where it all started, in the heart, and it spreads out into our actions and it spreads into terrible atrocities that we see today in our world. Christ calls us to a different lifestyle, a lifestyle that says, if I've got something, I will give it to you, I will share it with you. If you want my tunic, I'll give you my coat as well. Christ says, if you want me to go 1 mile with you, I'll go 2 with you. This is the morals and the example that Christ called us as his disciples to live our life by. And to remember today that this is the kind of love that he called us and life to live by today. A life of sacrifice, a life where selfishness and egotism and ego has no room in it, where we are called to share, to be generous people in order that others may live. It is frightening to know that all the atrocities that this world has seen last century and even this century, through wars, through terrorism, they all started in the heart, started with selfishness. And so on this Remembrance Sunday, God calls us to remember that it is much more beneficial to us all as to the whole world if we learn the example of Christ to lay our lives down for the benefit, the freedom of others, for the salvation indeed of others. It is that which we are called to. And so allow me to pray with you, God's blessing for today, to pray with you that the Lord will enable you and me to be representatives of Christ's love into the world, where we are called to lay down our selfish ways, to lay down our incredible egotistic thoughts and actions, and be able to love as Christ loved us. And so, my prayer for you, as it is for me today, is that we may encounter God's grace fully into our lives in such a way that we will be able to lay down our lives for our neighbors, even for our enemies. What a world would that be? What a world would that be? Amen.
On fire, and every step will be a prayer. Hope is rising, a new day dawning. Sound of singing fills the air. 2,000 years, and still the flame is burning bright. Across the land, hearts are waiting, longing, aching for awakening once again. Let the flame burn bright in the heart of the darkness, turning night to glorious day. Let the song grow loud. With your song.
And again, thank you for watching and being part of our service today. I hope that the Lord has blessed you. And remember that great love of Christ for you. Remember the lifestyle that he set for us to live today, how much we need to do that. Let me close the service with a blessing to you from the very powerful words of the Gospel of 1 John, of the letter of 1 John. This is what that word is. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, no, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world, and listen to these words, we are like him. Like him. This is the life that God has called us to remember, celebrate, and live today. May the Lord help us do so together as we continue our lives as his disciples in these very challenging times. And until next week, may the Lord bless you, be with you, protect you, stay blessed and healthy. Amen.